It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. This weekend, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan is set to end with a commemoration of Eid al-Fitr. For observant Muslims, it's the end of a month of fasting from sunrise until sunset. Eid is a time of celebration, but for the second year in a row, the holiday is happening against the backdrop of Israel's ongoing war against Hamas in Gaza. And now there's added fear and uncertainty over the actions of the Trump administration here in the U.S. Under the circumstances, we wanted to check in with some younger Muslims in Illinois about how they are marking Eid al-Fitr this year. Layla Ahmed is a first-year graduate student in physics at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Layla, welcome to the 21st show.
Hi, thank you so much.
Also with us is Mohammed Fakhreddin, also at Illinois, working toward a PhD in civil and environmental engineering. He's originally from Beirut, Lebanon. Mohammed, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And listeners, our phone lines are open for the last part of our program today at 800-222-9455, especially if you are observing Eid this year. What is your message to your family, your community, and the rest of Illinois? 800-222-9455. All right, Layla, I'm going to start with you. How long have you been participating in Ramadan and Eid?
Well, I actually come from a Muslim family, so I've been practicing since I was a kid, but my family's actually not very religious, so I would say it's become a lot more meaningful for me during the last few years, especially this time around. In Urbana-Champaign, there's such a large community, and it's been really nice participating.
That's interesting. So it's something you picked up more in college than you had done growing up.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, interesting. Mohammed, what about you? How long have you been participating in Ramadan and Eid?
I think that I have started fasting when I turned like 12, 13, and I haven't skipped a day of fasting like in Ramadan since. So it's something that I have been doing since I was a kid. Growing up, I used to sometimes fast like half the day, sometimes the whole day, but not consistently for the whole month. And then probably even before I was 12, I started doing the whole month every day, the whole day. And I just stuck with it, and I haven't skipped since.
It's interesting. Does it take getting used to fasting for all day, for day after day, week after week?
In my experience, you'd be like surprised what your body is capable of doing. And it's mostly a mental challenge more than it is a physical challenge. Like, by the end of Ramadan, you'd be able to go probably 2 days without food and water. And typically the first, especially in the last few years, it's only the first few days that are rough. And that's for me only, simply because you have to give up coffee. And I have become quite a coffee addict over the past few years. So giving up coffee last year was extremely challenging. And this year, instead of like quitting cold turkey, I started to doze off a few weeks before Ramadan started. So it was a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. Layla, what about you? Was that a challenge, acclimating to the fasting or giving up caffeine maybe during the day?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything Mohammed has said, I absolutely have experienced myself. I think alongside with the coffee, the sleep is also a bit of a task, getting up around 3 or 4 in the morning to have a pre-fast meal, and then having to either go back to sleep or keep working is a bit of a mental drain for sure.
Yeah. So Layla, what does it mean to you spiritually? What do you get out of fasting?
Spiritually, it's definitely, it means a lot to me nowadays, especially because it's become sort of a model on how to discipline myself. I think with me at least, Ramadan teaches you how to kind of, well, both like humble yourself and to discipline yourself, just to remind yourself of like the things that people don't really have access to on a regular basis. You know, I'm so privileged to, you know, be able to easily eat 3 meals a day as well as snacks and have a coffee every single morning and more if I want. Fasting all day just reminds me at least that, you know, There's several people around the world who don't have that. There, especially Muslims too, who will go fasting, will go on to fast the entire day, and then they don't have something to break their fast with. And so that's very meaningful for me, as well as like just showing myself like what Muhammad said, like what my body is capable of, what I'm capable of, is yeah, what it means to me.
Muhammad, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that from a sort of spiritual dimension.
I think Leila mentioned exactly what I wanted to say, which is that we are in an, more than we understand, actually, incredibly privileged position to be able to have three meals a day. And there are not millions, but billions of people who do not have access to the kind of resources that we do, as simple as they may sound, like clean water, good food, meat, a place to sleep. These are very simple things, human rights. That a lot of people don't have access to. And in Ramadan, you really learn to appreciate what you have and like feel with the people that don't have access to all of this. That is plus of course the discipline of, you know, because here, especially in the US, and this was a great experience for me. Within any circle that you end up in, there are probably going to be a lot of people that are not fasting. And that's great, you know, like it doesn't matter if a lot of people are not fasting, you know what you're doing. And so it teaches you to like stick to your roots and stick to what you believe in, regardless of what everyone else is doing. And I think that's really powerful. And that's it, yeah.
So, Leila, I mentioned Eid is going to be this weekend. It's not quite clear if it's Sunday or Monday. It depends on when the first crescent moon is spotted, I guess, in the Middle East. But talk about what you do to celebrate Eid.
So, as a kid, normally, so I'm originally from Maryland, and all my family's over there. And every morning, of course, you go to prayer, we head to my grandma's house, we have a big meal. This year is probably my first time celebrating Eid away from my family. And so I'm hoping to celebrate with some friends, just a similar thing, get a nice meal with them, and just have a good time and celebrate.
Yeah. Muhammad, I wonder how celebrations of Eid are different here from back in Lebanon.
I can tell you how they are in Lebanon. Over
Sure,
the
yeah.
years, has become quite a recipe for at least for our family. So it starts for me at like 5-ish in the morning, maybe 5:30. I always go with my dad to like do the Eid prayer. That's typically around 2 hours. After that, we come home. Like my mom would have gotten up, my sisters and family would have gotten up. So I just, you know, pass by everyone and say happy Eid, take a shower, put on nice clothes. That's always a tradition. And then there's like the first big breakfast of the day. Eid is very much for us about like good food and getting everyone together. So it starts with my dad's side of the family with like a really nice breakfast, all the families there. And then we sit and hang out, and then we go visit my mom's side of the family, where that is now lunch, and it's a very similar thing. Like it's a very big lunch, good food, everyone is there. And then we move to the sweets in the afternoon. And as a kid, I used to always like find time to escape for a bit and hang out with my neighborhood friends. We would go on our little adventures and, you know, play around, and we all had our hair done and like nice outfits and stuff. So it was very like a very really happy occasion. You can feel it in the air. Everyone's happy. Here, obviously, I've grown up since, and I'm bald now, so I can't style my hair. But I still stick to the tradition of doing the Eid prayer. I have a very nice community here. It's very large, actually. So we do that in the morning, and I get with my friends, whether they've practiced Ramadan or not. Like I host a breakfast, and we all get together, and I try to, you know, recreate that spirit. And I call my family back home, and it's still a very happy occasion. It just hits different when you're back home with your people.
Yeah, sure. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan and the commemoration of Eid al-Fitr, which is coming up this weekend. My guests are Leila Ahmed and Mohammed Fakhreddin. They're both graduate students at the University of Illinois. Just a few minutes left in our time together. And Mohammed, I'm going to start with you. I have to ask. We saw a video of Rumeyza Ozturk, who's a Turkish graduate student at Tufts University in Massachusetts. She was approached on the street by a group of people in hoods and masks. They said they were police. They put her in a vehicle. She's moved to an immigration detention center now in Louisiana. The Trump administration accuses her of supporting Hamas, but her friends and colleagues say all she did was write an opinion piece criticizing the university leadership in a student newspaper. I guess my question to you, Mohammed, is as an international student now, how are you feeling about this?
I am not overreacting when I say that what is happening right now, immigration-wise, with the students is absolutely terrifying. Like, the idea that these people can just come up to you in masks, in hoodies, not identify themselves, and just take you like that is absolutely wild and insane. It's just really scary. Not for only me, but for all the international students here. Who would have thought that, you know, just stating a simple opinion can get you in like this kind of trouble? And unfortunately, a lot of people that I know are changing their travel plans. They're afraid. They don't trust the system. They're worried. It's just really nerve-wracking having to deal with all this, plus, you know, do your own thing, like the graduate studies or the work that you do, and Ramadan and fasting. Like, it can get really overwhelming for a lot of people, and I don't know what the end of it is, those are my immediate thoughts.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. You know, Leila, you mentioned you're from Maryland, so I guess that doesn't quite hit you in the same way, but I don't know if you have thoughts on that, and maybe we can also just talk about, you know, what's happening in Israel and Palestine, this still this year ongoing for the second year in a row.
Yeah, I mean, like everything Mohammed has said, there are things that I feel, things that my colleagues who are also international students feel. It's absolutely terrifying to see that that's just okay and that's allowed, especially like Ramadan's it's a very big load already in itself. Being a graduate student is already very substantial, very stressful. And then now you have to deal with possibly just being taken away from your studies. I think for a lot of people who are earning their degrees and they're the first in their families to do so, there's an even bigger cost. And so, it's just very, very scary to see.
Well, Leila and Mohammed, I want to thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today on the 21st show. I know it's mixed feelings this year and a little early, but Eid Mubarak. Thank you for being with us.
Eid Mubarak. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Leila Ahmed and Mohammed Fakhreddin are graduate students at the University of Illinois. That's all the time we have for our program today. Coming up on Monday's show, of the many different groups President Trump has targeted in the early days of his second presidency, there seems to be a particular enmity for people who are trans. Given that Monday is the annual Trans Day of Visibility, we're going to talk with some of our fellow Illinoisans about how it's been for them. Also, later next week, we'll be taking on the question of whether we are already in a constitutional crisis. How do we define that? How do we think about that? What do we do about that? Let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Once again, our address is talk@21stshow.org. We love hearing from you about future shows, past shows, whatever you want to talk to us about, that is the way to do it. You can find that address and every other way to contact us, social media, etc., all on our website, 21stshow.org. We've got our past programs there, and you can find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Eid Mubarak. We'll talk with you again on Monday.